In the last year, we had the opportunity to begin to appreciate that in reading the Rambam carefully, the Rambam about Kavana B'Tfila carefully, you notice something through the eyes of the Chaim Brisker. You notice that in addressing Astira in the details of to what extent is Kavana B'Tfila Ma'akev, you discover not only that there are different ideas that all ride under the general term of Kavana. There's one expectation that you'll think about what you're saying, and there's another, apparently, surprisingly, more fundamental expectation to be cognizant of the fact that you're in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kavana is Pirush HaMilos, and Kavana is Omer Lefnei Hashem. And in looking at that further, more carefully, digging into the language of Rambam, called Tefillah Sheinah Kavana Tefillah, and in trying to dig into understanding the Hezbollah for this Philic, Sir Rav Chaim in half a line opens a world of ideas. Rav Chaim pointed out that what's really going on here is not only chiddush in the details of kavana, details of a detail, the details of to what extent is kavana b'tefillah ma'akev, but you really come to a whole new understanding of what tefillah itself is. Because Rav Chaim had said the reason why Kavanah's Omer Lefnei Hashem is so fundamentally crucial to us, Ma'akev from beginning to end, because you don't realize that you're in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you're not aware that you are a David. You're not aware of what you're doing. You lack Kavanah's Pa'ula, you're Masasek. Chaim takes that more robust approach with the Machlokes Piva, Eger, and the Chavos Da'as, really the Shita I would suggest of Rashi, the beginning of the second parak of our Masechta. That you lack kavanas pa'ula, you're a masasik, so it matters the maisa, it's not just your pater from onshin, the maisa doesn't relate to you, like the maisa happened on its own. The maisa is done without awareness, but the osa of the masa does not relate to that person, does not relate to the God. So that's why you're pater from onshin, that's why it doesn't count as a mitzvah. So Rashi says, if you're not aware of the fact that you're verbalizing words, even though you are, you didn't realize, you just trying to scan the Sefer Torah for mistakes, you didn't realize you were whispering the words, you're a misasik in the kriya of kriyashma. You're not yotze kriyashma. Who is anami? But he by tefillah. Except that here it's not. You didn't realize you were saying words. You knew well that you were saying words. You knew that you showed up to shul. You knew that you put on towels and film. You knew that you had a sitter. You knew you were saying the words of the Shemoneh Esrei. But still, because you didn't realize you were staying in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you're a misasik. What do you mean? But I knew I was davening. No, you weren't, but I did. I knew I was davening. No, you didn't. What do you mean? I knew I was saying words. Apparently, saying words isn't davening. Not just saying words isn't an ideal davening. That's not what davening is. That's how we do davening. What davening is being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if a Jew knows that he's saying the words of the Shemoneh Esrei, but is not cognizant of the fact that he's saying the words of the Shemoneh Esrei to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then not just a theological deficiency, but that's a misasik. You're not misasik in saying words, but you are misasik on tefillah, because tefillah is amidah lefnei Hashem, much as I might be aware of the fact that I sliced a tomato in half. If I didn't know that the tomato was attached to the ground, then I was aware that I was cutting a tomato in half, but I was unaware of the fact that I was detaching half of the tomato from the ground. I was misasik on the kotzer, on the ochre davar migidulo, and therefore I'm a misasik vis-a-vis Malach HaShabbos. Who did not me here? I know them saying words, but I wasn't aware that I was in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to be mispalel is not to say words. To be mispalel is to be in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a big, big, big yisod. That's a fantastic yisod. Magnificent. Mentioned last time that, just to sort of saber sa'ozen, to think about the way you get to know a person and the way you build your relationship with a person, a first sit down with someone, sitting down for coffee, whether in a romantic context, in a business context, what have you, the first time you met a friend, umpteen years ago. So often it's the case that whatever you did or whatever you spoke about is secondary to the fact that you were spending time with each other. So hu adinami, kayachol, we have the opportunity to sit down to coffee with HaKadosh Baruch Hu 3 times a day. That's the mahosa. What's happening is we're sitting down or standing, whatever it is, standing for coffee with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. three times a day. You're not just going to stand there and stare. You're going to speak. But the words that you say are secondary to the fact that you're there, the fact that you're in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why Kavanas Ta'amidu L'Fnei Hashem is very understandably ma'akeh far more than Kavanas Pirush HaMilas, because that's awareness of what it is that you're doing. That idea, that Amida L'Fnei Hashem is a definition of tefillah, so it ought to show up in many different contexts in Hilchos Tefillah, and in fact it does. In fact, it probably answers four technical kashas, as well as sort of a natural kasha in the kishkas that we probably think about, though we might not ever formulate. Number one, number two, number three, number four, and number five. Here we go. Number one, we had raised the kasha. And this maybe we addressed a little bit last time. Again, in addition to the kavanah issue, a total of six kashas. Now, what kasha number one this addresses is this explains beautifully why it is that kavanah of Nei Hashem is makkeh, unlike kavanah pirush hamilas, and that's the Rambam's elegant solution to resolving Tosas' stir lamed lamed out. So that's number one. Number one is the issue of Beis Kavanos. Right, this Hagdara, that Tefillah equals communing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that one, it deals with the problem of the two Kavanos between. Number two, it deals with the problem of particularly for the Rambam, who takes this Sifrei, this Medrash quoted by the Gemara and Tanya and Yerushalmi in the fourth pack of Brachos, that Tefillah is Avodah Shebelev. The Rabbanit said Avodah Shebelev really means is doing mitzvahs in general wholeheartedly. The Rambam said, no, Avodah Shebelev is tefillah. Not karbanos, but tefillah. Why dafka the leis? Now we understand. If the primary organ of tefillah is not the pet. Primary organ of tefillah is the leis. Pet, you use the pet also, but it's primarily being aware and feeling, mind and heart, that you're over the Fnei Hashem. Number three. We had, a couple days ago, begun to talk about Rebbe Gershom and the Ravid. How much is hefsek? If you're mafsek in the middle of a Shemona Esrei, so how far do you go back? When you're mafsek, how do you go back? Right? So Beis Yosef had said, "Tamachleikus Rishonim." We saw Taisus that Flamed Gimel and Aleph, who said that what? Who said that the Nachash Karach Al Kevo, or the Melech is speaking to you, the guy was Mafsik, the Heter, there was a Sakana, Akro Karach Al Kevo, you had the right to be Mafsik, you go back to the Bracha that you're in the middle of. Meanwhile, Rabbeinu Gershom had said, the Raivin had said, if you schmooze in the middle of Shemona Esrei, Chmal Tzlan, when you stop schmoozing, go back to the very beginning. The Beis Yosef said, look at that, a Machloikas, a Hefstik. When you're mafsik in Milosh Rastray, how far do you go back? And they sort of say, don't tell me the difference between two cases is here was mutter mafsik and there was Oster mafsik. Mutter Oster wasn't matter. A hefsik is a hefsik. It's not like the Gemara and Daf, man, that's not a hefsik at all to say, please feed the animal before we can eat bread. That's me'inyana. But running away from a scorpion is not the same inyan as tefillah. It overrides tefillah. It's mutter and obligatory to run from a poisonous scorpion in the middle of Shemona Esrei, but it still was hefsek. Don't tell me the issue was mutter versus aser.
So when you're hefsek in the middle of Shemona Esrei, you have to go back. When do you have to go back?
Exactly. How far do you go back? When you're mafsek, whether it's mutter or aser, when you're ready to resume your Shemona Esrei, to where do you pick up from? So the Beis Yosef had said, "Ooh, machlekes rishonim. I have the Beinu Gershon. I have the Ravid. They're both called by Lady Rishonim. They're both saying if you were schmoozing, go back to the beginning. It's against the Taisus. And Daf Lama Gimel Amar Zechta says only go back to the beginning of the bracha in which you were in the middle." Says the Brisker of Talmud, the Emek Bracha, Ayur Le Pomeranchik, I didn't bring a sefer to shir today. Arle Paramanchi grew up in the town of Brisk, and he learned by Brisk Rav for many, many years. Most Bachram were learned by Brisk Rav in Europe. They were learning wherever they were learning, Mir, Tells, wherever else, and you would come, like for the experience, to spend this month or two by the Brisk Rav, and you went back to where you were learning. Most didn't sit by the Brisk Rav for years. Arle Paramanchi lived in Brisk. He grew up, it was an actual town in Brisk. It wasn't just a, Brisk is not just a conceptual, theoretical kind of construct. It was an actual town of Brisk with, like, you know, grass and trees and cows and families. So, and he was a little kid, Brisk, and he was no longer so little. And he grew a Talmud Chacham in Brisk. He lived parallel by Brisk for years. So Rabbi Arle Paramanchik, I think we have three svarim from him, one of which is Emek Bracha, on Brachas and Moed, our Chaim topics. So Rabbi Arle Paramanchik says, it's not a machlokas. What's the difference between Akrav versus Sach, between running from the scorpion versus schmoozing? It's not just that running from the scorpion is mutter, and schmoozing the Shema Yisrael is aser. There's something far more fundamental. You tell me. Once you recognize that tefillah is not per se saying words, it's what you do when you're misbal, but to be misbal is to be in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Riley Paramanchik says, you want to talk about technical issues of hefsek? You spoke, you ran, you know, I ran away from the scorpion, I ran away, I had to leave the building because of a fire alarm, the sakana. Okay, so the technical issue of hefsek. So Tosa says, okay, let's handle, what are the rules of hefsek? And the answer is, Tosa says, I think if you put the Gemaras together, Tosa and Daf Lama Gimel says, the rules of hefsek indicate that you have to go back to the middle of the bracha you were in, but you don't have to go back to the Yom Shemaster. But when you talk, it's not just, Arle Paramanchik says, it's not just that when you talk it was usur to be mafsik. It's a contradiction to the essence of what tefillah is. If you're in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you might have had to run for something. Okay. There was danger, so you ran away. So that's not a fundamentally contradictory to the concept of tefillah. You were in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there was an emergency, you ran away, and now you're back. Okay, so you were mafsik in the middle of being the president of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now you came back. So what are the rules of hefsek? Pick up from wherever you're up to. Pick up from the bracha you're up to. He says, but schmoozing, it's not just usher to schmooze. I understand. You were in the presence of Melech Malchim Amlachim, and then you were shooting the breeze about basketball with someone? That's not just technically a hefsek. That explodes any sense of you were in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's contradictory to the whole essence of what tefillah is. It just explodes the whole tefillah. So of course you have to start again from the beginning. You destroyed any pretense that you actually were in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Really? You were just pretending. You weren't in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You were up for something technical in Neila. But Mamash to schmooze, it's not just that, it's worse than hefsek. Schmoozing is just like, so you're not in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all. You destroyed your whole Amid L'Fnei Hashem. So now you have to start from the beginning again. How about the following? Here's issue number four. Talking about going back. Let's talk about going back, not only when you're mafsik, you make a mistake. Anyone know the rules of, you forget, you would say on Shabbos. You're benching?
Repeat it.
You're benching, you forget, would say on Shabbos. Yes, what do you say?
Repeat it.
Repeat what?
The entire thing.
The entire thing, correct. That's what Gemara says. Matter of fact, it's Gemara Daf Mem Test. Some of you may have seen the other day in Morning Seder. Gemara Daf Mem Test, the Rambam quotes it. And towards the end of the second paragraph of his brachas, the Gemara says on Daf Mem Test, some of it off, Mem Test, some of it. Gives you all the rules. If you're here near the end, you have the narrow lines, the wide lines, the very wide lines. Near the end of the wide lines, the medium width lines. Yasser Rabbi Zeir, Achorid Rav Gidl, Yasser Rav Gidl, Kamed Rav Huner. Huner's giving shir. Sounds like Rav Gidl was a Talmud in the front row, and Rabbi Zeir was further back. Yasser Vikamar, he's saying the shir, Togol Hizkir Shal Shabbos, you're benching, this is the seventh paragraph, benching, you left out Shabbos, so there's a bracha that you add to make up for not saying Ritzay. Baruch Shanasan Shabbos, Lamanucha, Am Yisrael, Abiyahavala, Oslubris, Baruch Makadash HaShabbos. And then he talks about what do you say when you say Yomtiv, when if you leave out Yalv Yavon Yomtiv. And then the Gemara says on the Memtes and Beis, this bracha that you add, the Shai told us, you left it say, go back to the beginning of benching. Here, the Gemara says, you left it say, just add another bracha, additional bracha to the benching in place of say. So the Gemara asks that stira, or doesn't ask that Shai said, but the Shai is quoting on the top of Memtes and Beis of Shela. The Amar of Shela Amar Rav, or Shela quoted the name of Rav, Tachozer LaRosh. You left that Ritzay, go back and begin benching. I've heard of Hunam Rav, Ta'abar, Omar Bar Shanasan. Two Talmidim of Rav had two different versions of what Rav said about if you made a mistake in benching. The Gemara answers, it depends where you're up to. Amar Le, here we are, Memtesim Abay's fourth line. Amar Le, this is critical. Lav Itmar, wasn't it said about that? A third Talmud. Quoting Rav, Amar of Menashe bar Tachlifa, like the Kasav Ashlishi, Shechriya Benayim. Menashe bar Tachlifa quotes the name of Rav, Lo Shana Lo Shal Pasa Batova Meitiv. Pasa Batova Meitiv Chozel Rosh. That's the answer. That's it. You have your art scroll sitter or bencher that tell you the compensatory blessings, but only if you realize your mistake in between Bonei Yerushalayim and the fourth Racha. So they got that from the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch got that. From Gemara and Ar Masechta, and then tested it. Gavaldi, we're coming back to us. Very shy. You're on top of all the issues. Give me a moment. I'm not as fast as you. Fantastic. So again, so the Gemara here says, if you realize you left that Ritzay, you realize you left that Yal V'Yavo, and you're after the tool, you already said Boni Yerushalayim. You're no longer in the middle of the third bracha, but you didn't start the fourth bracha yet. So at that point, there's a special rule. You get to add a separate bracha, Asher Nasan, that takes the place of Ritzay or Yal V'Yavo. But it's sort of like a special chikava then. But once you already started the fourth bracha, you already began Hatov Ameitiv, Hakel Avinu Malkeinu, so then we say it's too late for that special makeup bracha. At this point, you gotta go back. So how are you gonna go back? As Shai said, Chozer LaRosh.
Let me guess. And Shimon asked Ray, if you finish with say, but you didn't start Moldev, you can say, you can add something.
Very good. So now if you finish with say you haven't started modin and you realize you didn't say Yalv, you say Hamach Shinas Letziyam, oops, forget Yalv Yavo. So actually the Balyatosis say you can just say Yalv Yavo right there, just say it and it'll be added back. So until you start the next bracha, you're still in the middle of the previous bracha. Okay, but let's say you realize only in modin that you left it out.
You go back.
Davi Mincha and Davi Mincha Shodesh. Go back to?
The beginning.
Ah. So the truth is, if you're in the middle of Shemana Esrei, going back to Dav Chavtes, if you're in the middle of Shemana Esrei, you go back to the bracha that you were up to. That's interesting. If you're in the middle of Modin, in the middle of Simshalom, you go back to Ritzeh. And say Ritzeh again with your Yalav Yavo, the first whatever it is, the first 15, 16 brachas of Shemana Esrei were beautiful and kosher. Ritzay was no good because you left out a critical theme. On Rosh Chodesh, a critical theme of Ritzay is Rosh Chodesh. You didn't mention Rosh Chodesh. You weren't Yotzei Ritzay. Okay, so you were, and the brachas from Esther have to be in order. So if you weren't Yotzei Ritzay, it didn't help that you said Modim. So you have to go back to Ritzay and then say Modim again, say Ritzay again, say Modim again, say Sim Shalom. The Gemara says Daf Chavtes, on the top of Chavtes and the Beis, if here. I'm Rabbi Tanchum. I'm Rav Asi. I don't know anyone named Asi. Other than Yamora. I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Tov lo hizkesh or chodesh ba'avodah. He left out a mention of Rosh Chodesh in Avoda. Avoda is the title for the bracha of Ritzin. Chozer l'Avoda, go back to Ritzin. Nizka Avoda, Chozer l'Avoda. You realize in the middle of Modim, go back to Ritzin. The Sim Shalom, you realize in the middle of Sim Shalom, you left the Yavi Avoda, Chozer l'Avoda. V'mseim, Chozer l'Rosh. If you finish your Shmon Asrei, so then you got to go back to the beginning. In other words, the rule is, Kozman, you're still in the middle of the Shmon Asrei. So we look at every bracha as its own unit, and we therefore will say, as I explained before, look, the first 16 brachas through Shema Koleinu were lovely, wonderful. You weren't Yotzei Ritzei because left the Yal V'Yavah. So you got to go back to Ritzei and pick up again from there. But what? That calls my, you're still in the middle of your Shema Esrei. We're looking at each bracha as a separate unit. But once you end the Shmona Esrei, so then already I'm no longer zoomed in seeing each bracha as a separate unit. Once I finish the Shmona Esrei, I look at Shmona Esrei as one large unit, either thumbs up or thumbs down. Either you Yotze, you were Yotze. If after Shmona Esrei, after I finish Shmona Esrei, I say, ooh, there was no Yal V'Yavo, which means one of the brachas I was the Yotze, now that means the whole Shmona Esrei was no good. Once I finish Shmona Esrei, the whole Shmona Esrei will stand or fall as a unit. So if you're if you only realize after you done the Shmona Esrei that you left out Yal V'Yavo and therefore your Ritzei was possible, at this point you say your Shmona Esrei as a whole was possible. Once you're done with Shmona Esrei, it's a binary. The whole Shmona Esrei, you do yes or no. Come on, you middle the Shmona Esrei. So I can handle the first 16 brachas were good and the bracha 17 was no good. So I don't have to repeat all the brachas, just repeat from 17 and on, from Ritzei and on. But once I'm done, I'm done. Okay. Yeah, you might already be bothered. One second. So Shai was bothered. What do you mean? By Shmona Esrei, you told me that Kozman, you're still davening, just go back to the bracha that you made messed up in. Whereas by benching, you're in the middle of the fourth bracha. We didn't say go back to the third bracha. We said go back to the beginning. But you're not finished. You're not finished the benching yet. So you might know that from, if, and you will over the course of the year as we get to the seventh parak, that the benching, the main bench is really the first three brachos. Food, Eretz Yisrael, and Yerushalayim. Hatov Ametiv, the Hakel Avinu Malkeinu, the fourth bracha was really a later Tosefes that Chazal added to give Hodah for a particular Chazdei Hashem that they saw actually in a time of great tragedy. After Haruge Beitar, probably a reference to the Bar Kokhba revolt, they thought around 70 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni, there was a series of revolts, but the largest by far was around 70 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni. Bar Kokhba, Bar Koziva, was a Jew who led a massive Jewish revolt against the Romans. And he had very significant military success for a number of years. He actually began to establish a makeshift Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. He minted his own coins. Yehuda Landi points out.
Yehuda Landi
is a Talmud Chacham lives in Eretz Yisrael who is a self-taught archaeologist. Fascinating man. He's written a couple of. He published a fantastic version of Megillas Esther. With pictures and archaeological data, I think he recently put out a Yirmiyahu maybe. So he points out that if you look at if you track the military annals of the Roman Empire, the history of the Roman military, not only did they bring multiple legions were the largest unit of the Roman army, now they have to bring multiple legions ultimately to Israel to put down the Bar Kokhba revolt, but there's one legion, I think maybe it was the 14th, that disappears from that point on, from the annals. It was apparently the Jewish soldiers succeeded in entirely eliminating a legion of the Roman army.
I'm not sure.
I got to explore more about the Roman military standards and protocols. They had a degree of success for a number of years. Ultimately, the Romans came down full force, and it was an incredibly tragically bloody loss. Rabbi Akiva, they had been a machlokes hatanan whether Bar Kokhba was was a candidate for Mashiach or not. Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara in the Sanhedrin, says Rabbi Akiva thought he was. Other Tanam disagreed. The Rambam Hilchos Melachim presents not just Rabbi Akiva, but many, many Rabbi Akiva's contemporaries also thought that Bar Kokhba might be Mashiach. And ultimately, Rambam points out, once he was killed by the Romans, it became clear that, unfortunately, tragically, he was not Mashiach. In the aftermath of that, I think it's the aftermath of that, that the Romans initially did not allow the Jews to bury their dead for quite some time, which was yet another tzara on top of the primary tzara. And when they ultimately were able to get permission to bury, so Chazal saw in that, even in that time of unbelievable darkness, a very special chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so much so that they were misak in a bracha that we say, Ad Hayom Hazeh. 1900 years or so later, the fourth bracha of benching, Atol HaMetiv, is a hodah for that, for Chazdei Hashem, even in times of tzara, something to worth thinking about. It is a separate bracha. It's not really part of benching itself. It's sort of like an appendix that's added after. It's like a footnote. After the benching, which is three brachas, then you say Atol HaMetiv. Okay, so maybe you'll say, I understand, it's not such a steer between Chavtes and Memtes, between Shmona Esrei and benching. The rule is, Kozman, you're in the middle of Shmona Esrei, middle of the benching, go back to the bracha that you made a mistake in. Once you're done, so then go back to the, if you made a mistake, you have to go Chozer L'Rosh. The fourth bracha isn't really benching, that's just something that we say after benching. Sounds reasonable? Until you read the next line of the Gemara. Take a look. Is there anything that we say, is there anything parallel by Shmona Esrei? Something we say after the Shmona Esrei? Kind of tzar. We spent time in the second paragraph on all those Elokein and Tzar options. How significant is it? So here is the Gemara in the fourth paragraph that picks up on a perspective of that second paragraph of you. Amar of Papa, great Javachabarad, at the top of Chav, Tess, Abu Dei, Hodamar and Siyim Chosel Rosh. You told me once you're done in Shmona Esrei. Yeah, then you're ready. You're done. You have to go back to the beginning. What's called done with Shmona Esrei? Lo amron el sha'akar raglav. Lo akar raglav chos la'avoda. Only if you took your three steps back. But if not, then just go back to where it said. In other words, simple reading of the Gemara. So Rashi understands it. So Rambam understands it. Hilchos Brachos Perek Beis Halachos Beis. Is that not all, what you're considered to be in the middle of your Shmona Esrei, and therefore, just go back to the bracha that you said improperly. You don't have to do Chozer Rosh. Not only when you're in the middle of Modim or Sim Shalom, even when you're in the middle of Elokai Tzar. Kol Zman, you did it, and the Gemara goes on to give more details. And if you're Ragil, the Gemara says explicitly, it's until you take your three steps back, and that includes if you're Ragil Lomar Tachanunim Achat Filasa. If you usually say more tachanunim, like Elokai and Tzar, all those other options that the Gemara mentioned in the second paragraph, if you usually follow up on the standardized Shmona Esrei with your own additional tefillos, in Hebrew and English and Portuguese and Sanskrit, whatever it is, so then you realize in the middle of Elokai and Tzar that you left the Yal V'Yavo and Mincha Rosh Chodesh, you go back to Ritzei, not to the beginning, meaning, let's translate that. When you're in the middle of a kind of tzar, you're still in the middle of Shmona Esrei. But you're in the middle of the fourth bracha of benching. You're in the middle of benching? No. What? How could that be? I understand what you're telling me. There's a core Shmona Esrei. But here, this isn't just core Shmona Esrei. This isn't even obligatory at all. You're not mechuyev to say l'kayim tzar. It's a very good idea. You're not mechuyev to. But somehow, Shmona Esrei is extendable. While benching, forget about in the middle of the harachamans, which is minigagaonim, even in the middle of the fourth bracha, which I'm obligated midrabanan to say immediately after the first three brachas of benching. We still say, no, you're done with benching. Benching the first three brachas, hatoh the fourth bracha, kelabinu malkenu, that's just something we say afterwards. Well, make up your mind. Is something you say afterwards part of the thing or not part of the thing? In benching, it's not part of the thing. In Shmona Esrei, it is part of the thing. Why does that hold water? How does that make any sense? Is it extendable or not? So apparently, Shmor Esrei is extendable. And benching is not extendable. And why would that be? You tell me. Again, Daf Mem Tes, the Gemara says, Birkas HaMazon is not extendable. And once you're done with the first three brachos, you're done with your benching. You really made a mistake. Harachamas, you realize you made a mistake. You left the Yalvi Yalvi. Even during the fourth bracha, you realize you made a mistake in Yalvi Yalvi. Got a chol to a rosh. You're done with your benching, you go back to the beginning. But she'enikei al-kaidat tsar, you're still considered to be only the emtsah tefila. Why are you only the emtsah tefila by al-kaidat tsar, but you're not only the emtsah birkas hamazon, not only not by harachamas, not even in the fourth bracha, which is absolute chid rabban. Okay, but that's true by both of them. Maybe. Or maybe not. What do you mean the rice apart? Let me ask you a question. Let's think about this methodically. To be in the middle of your benching means you're still
benching.
To be in the middle of your tefillah means you're still doing tefillah. What does it mean? What is the action of benching? What does it say in the Chumash? The action of benching is v'achalta v'savata v'erachta. So you're mechuyav to say a bracha. And then the Gemara unpacks in the third parak, in the seventh parak, rather, Shal Shachol, you really have to say three brachas. Perhaps they're all daraisa. A bracha on food, a bracha on Eretz Yisrael, a bracha on Yerushalayim. And so the basic action of benching is saying brachas. Uveirachta. The basic action of tila is amidah fnei Hashem. When you're done saying the first three brachas, are you done being mevarech?
No.
You're done with the brachas of benching. Now you're saying other things. But are you still be'emtsa birkas hamazon? Not really. Now you're saying the things that happen after birkas hamazon. That's not really extendable. There's a bracha you need to say. You said those brachas. If you're finished with Shmona Esrei and now saying your own private tachanunim, you're saying al kainat tzar, are you still in the middle of saying Shmona Esrei? No. Are you still in the middle of tefila? Yes. Because you're still in the middle of tefila Hashem. That's why the first thing Gemara said is, if you, once you took your three steps back, that's demonstrating I'm stepping out of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're physically demonstrating I'm done with my amidah fnei Hashem. Okay. So at that point, you're done with tefillah. But tefillah is extendable because tefillah is not really, the act of tefillah is not saying text. That's what you do while you're doing tefillah. But the act, so to speak, of tefillah, the definition of tefillah is being done with fnei Hashem. As long as you're omed, you're omed. You can be omed long, you can be omed short. As a matter of fact, going back, and Yaakov had mentioned daraisas, Min HaTorah, unlike Birkas HaMazon, Min HaTorah, there's incredible flexibility in terms of what you say and how long you say by tefillah. Ramat said, Min HaTorah, until Ezra, everyone they made up their own nusach every time they daven. I mean, you had your own nusach used every day, but it was much more freestyle. As he says, some were longer and some were shorter and some were more sophisticated and some were more simple. So you could be Omer Fnei Hashem for 30 seconds, you can be Omer Fnei Hashem for 15 minutes. I'm not advocating necessarily either extreme. But Amidah Fnei Hashem is naturally, logically, very fluid and extendable. For as long as you... What does it matter that you finish the formal obligatory Shemona Esrei? You are still being Mispalel. You are still being Amidah Fnei Hashem. Now, Shingi Birkas HaMazon, you're still talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you're done with Uveirachta Shemakacha Artatova Shemasanach, which is a reference to Artatova Shemasanach, is exactly the second and third brachas for Eretz Yisrael and for Yerushalayim. You're done. Now you do other things which are important and follow after Birkas HaMazon. That's why, yeah.
Aren't you allowed to answer Kedusha in the middle of Al Kainat Tzar?
You are. That's right.
So wouldn't that be a proof that it's not so much considered Shemona Esrei?
Ooh. That's a very good kasha. You're just asking a fantastic kasha. I can answer kasha kudu shabar from middle of the kind of tzar. If it's like b'em tzah perek, then a prokin b'em tzah perek probably. It doesn't just show that I'm not omid of nation.
On some extent.
Yeah, so that's a very good kasha. I'm not sure. The answer might lie in the following. The poskim say that the only time you're allowed to do that is if you already said Yil Ratzim Refi, that pasuk in advance of your Elokai Netzar. So it's a discussion poskim on Erev Yom Kippur, or on Yom Kippur itself. It's a long vidui. It's a long vidui during the Kayim Tzar. So should you say Yul Ratzin or not? Say Yul Ratzin, then you have the right to answer Kash Kedush Baruch Hu, which if your vidui is going to run long, it'd be helpful. I think the Gra, though, was opposed to saying, I think the Siddur HaGra, they say the Gra and then Maaser Rav did not say Yul Ratzin Rifi before the vidui. Why? Because he said, like, you're cutting off your nose to spite your face. Now you're disconnecting. Why would you make a statement that I'm done with my tefillah? The whole point, you're supposed to include this in your tefillah. So it could be that's exactly the point. In Chanamin, you can make a declaration that I'm done, and then maybe l'hakel u'l'hakel, and maybe you also would have to go back to Chozer L'Rosh if you realize you made a mistake. But as the post can say, if you didn't say Yul Ratzon before L'Kayim Tzar, then you do not have the right to answer to Kash Kedush Baruch Hu. That probably speaks to your point.
But don't most people not say Yul Ratzon there?
I think if you don't, then you're not allowed to answer Kash Kedush Baruch Hu. That's what Mishnah Berurah says. It would be a good idea to say Yul Ratzon, that way you can get to answer Kash Kedush Baruch Hu. And then the Gra was opposed because, okay, now you can answer Kash Kedush Baruch Hu, but you just ended your Amil of Ne'ashem. Is that worth it?
So what should one do?
If you're in a Amil, it could be that don't. And then Chanami. Okay, if you won't answer Kash Kedush Baruch Hu, but you get to be Mamshech, just like if you're Amil of the Korsh Monastery. You only answer Kash Kedush Baruch Hu, you get to be Mamshech. So they just have to figure out which. That's the shikul. That's the shikul you're going to make. One more technical point, and then a point in the Kishkas. One of the things you can't do in Yom Kippur, we'll step to Yom Kippur and we'll come back to Tefillah. And you see this actually takes us to everyday Tefillah also. Maybe I'll introduce this piece by telling you that I had a very old friend who, when we were in our early 20s, he had 1 year where he had to fly a number of times cross country. I'm not sure if he was dating or why, never explained, but he took a couple of domestic flights over the course of a school year. And it seemed like every time he got on a plane, he ended up sitting next to some big American Rosh Hashiva. Like, what about me? Like, I never get to sit next to exciting people that I don't already know. And he was like, one after another. It was like, second, like, I won't name any names because of what I'm about to tell you. So one of the times he was on, he sat down on a plane, and next to him is Rav so-and-so, prominent chief in the United States. So once they took off, so this Rosh Hashiva went to get his hat. He said, getting his hat for Tfil Sadarach, because Raman had Tfil Sadarach and Hilchos Tfilah. Now, problem number one is, you can look, I do not think Raman was Tfil Sadarach and Hilchos Tfilah. I think Raman actually has Tfil Sadarach and Hilchos Tfilah. Okay, for starters. Plus, the following. So, in Simon Taryag, 613, not Torah Avenue, 613 Arachayim. Arachayim Simon Taryag is actually in the middle of Hilchos Yom Kippur. It's a simon about the Isser Rechitza B'Yom HaKippur. Not allowed to bathe in Yom Kippur. It's one of the Shari Nuyim, beyond eating and drinking. But as you know, you are allowed to bathe or wash your hands if you're dirty, right? Gemara says, Latana, take a shower is Gishmak. If you have clean hands is Gishmak, that's wrong. Latana, Rechitza is a problem. But if you fell in the mud, your hands are sticky, you have the right to wash off whatever the soil is. Okay. How about a fellow uses the bathroom? A fellow uses the bathroom in your kippur. Everyone's going to use the bathroom in your kippur at some point. So and now you're done. So what do you do with your hands? What do you do with your hands? So the Shulchan Aruch says, and you have it here in front of you, on the third page. Sif Aleph is about, it's us to wash, whether it's hot water or cold water, your whole body, one finger, it's all us. But then he goes on to say Sif Aleph, over here. If Yadav Aragla Meluch Lachim, if your hands are dirty, your feet are dirty, some other part of your body is dirty, or you have a nosebleed, not Avdam, Michotmo, you can wash that away. Mutal Arachim, Shal Asra Elochitah Shal Taimim.
Okay. It's also to have an enjoyable washing. If it's just to address a problem, is fine. Have a hitul mayim v'shifshef b'yada asa tzirach v'kina. If he'll use the bathroom and his hands are a little bit dirty, so of course, wash your hands. Mutar l'chol. Have le'yadim l'chol. Your hands are dirty, you wash them. But let's say, imagine a fellow uses the bathroom, his hands are totally clean. I think we usually are raised nowadays to, we live in an era of great hygiene, Baruch Hashem, and water and soap are both plentiful. So we're properly habituated that you walk out of the bathroom, you always wash your hands and soap and water. Shulchan Aruch says, technically, let's say, and usually your hands are going to be somewhat soiled, whether physically soiled or at least that you're worried about germs. But let's say, hypothetically, a fellow uses the bathroom, and his hands are sparkling clean. Usually we would volunteer to wash our hands anyways. That's a healthy habit. So the Shulchan Aruch says, well, there's another reason why you would need to wash your hands, even if your hands are mamish, totally clean. That is, it wrote to the Hispala. If you're planning to daven, so then Hachana for Tefillah demands that you wash your hands between having used the bathroom and davening, even if your hands are physically entirely clean, pristine clean. Okay, so that's the rule. Even if your hands are totally, totally clean, you can't have a bathroom. If you're going to daven, you got to wash your hands as Hachana for Tefillah. Okay. The Taz says, if you're going to daven, when on Yom Kippur are you not about to daven? You're always davening on Yom Kippur. There's always a tefillah coming up. You're about to daven Shacharis, you're about to daven Musaf, you're about to daven Mincha, you're about to daven Nila. By the time you daven Nila, you're daven Yom Kippur. What do you mean, if you're going to daven? When's the if you're going to daven? When are you not about to daven? Are you going to daven in 10 minutes? Right. So he says, well, after Maariv, Leil Yom Kippur, you came home. In the morning, you can anyways wash Negel Vas before Davin Shachas. So at that point, we're trying to figure out if you have to wash your hands or not. But then the Taz says, okay, it's post Maariv, and it's not really pre-Shachas, but every time you come out of the bathroom, what do you say? Ashiyata. You're always about to say Ashiyata. What do you mean, Imros L'Hispal? Yeah, of course you're going to say an Ashiyata. You hear the kasha? Ooh, fantastic. Fantastic. So I would agree with you. What the Emek Bracha said for number four, I think we could apply to number five as well. The Hachana is only for Tefillah, not for Brachas. How do I know? Who said? Maybe you have to make Hachana for Brachas also. Take a look at the following. Take a look at a Rishon, the last Maramakdam on this page. This is the Hagolus Maimonios. On the bottom of the page, the Rambam quotes the Ashkenazi Rishon, the Chachmei Ashkenaz, on the same topics that the Rambam is discussing. So here's the Hagolus Maimonios in the third paragraph of Shvitzas Asar. The third paragraph is dedicated to the Shari Inuyim, Rechitza and Sicha, and so forth. So he says here, this is the source for this idea that you use the bathroom, you're about to daven, you wash your hands, even if your hands are pristinely clean. But davening requires that you wash your hands between using the bathroom and davening. Why? Look at the pasuk they quote. Hikol nikras elokach yisrael, a pasuk I believe in Treyasar. Hikol nikras elokach yisrael. Say, hikol nikras elokach yisrael, even if your hands are clean, but you have to, if I'll use the bathroom, you have to wash your hands before tefillah. Hikon, prepare yourself, hachana, for what? Hachana for? Hikon, likras elokecha Yisrael. Jews, Yisrael, prepare likras elokecha. Prepare to go meet your God, to be in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's only likras elokecha. If you're about to mispalel, that's likras elokecha, because you're tamid l'fnei Hashem. A bracha, Kivayachal, a bracha is like talking to Kadosh Baruch on the phone. I say Baruch Atah, you, but that's like from a distance, so to speak. Tefillah, Shmona Esrei, is like face-to-face conversation. There's a world of difference, as you know, experientially, between calling someone on the phone and sitting down to talk face-to-face. Only Shmona Esrei is this type of face-to-face reality. So, which is why, going back to the Rosh Hashiva on the plane, the Rosh Hashiva will remain nameless. Not only you can check me if I'm wrong, I would be glad to be found wrong, but I believe that Tefillah Sadarach does not appear in Hilchos Tefillah, it appears in Hilchos Brachas, which reflects that Tefillah Sadarach is a bracha, not Tefillah. It's not an amidah l'fnei Hashem in such a direct face-to-face way. It's from a distance, and therefore, as Ados Maimini says, and the Taz points out, it should not require a brachas. Don't you have to? Well, you have to dress up to say a bracha. You do have to dress up, wash your hands, and dress up to be mispal Shmona Esrei. Yeah, for Shmona Esrei, you have to put yourself together and wear dress yourself in a way that expresses I'm ka'omer l'fnei ha'melech. That's not the case to make a shahakol. It's not the case to make an ashayata. Hachana is dafka likras elokecha. So what do we have? We had a core yisod, a foundational redefinition of tefillah. The tefillah isn't saying the word tefillah is amidah l'fnei Hashem, and looking at the board, it explained so much. We understand so well why it's Tamaraz Omer L'Fnei Hashem, which is Ma'akif throughout. We understand so well why the Rambam takes very seriously that Tefillah would be referred to as Avodah Shebalei rather than Avodah Shebalei, unlike Karbanos. We understand well why schmoozing in the middle of davening is much more destructive than some other type of hesek, because it's flying in the face of the whole essence of Avodah Shebalei. We understand well why if you make a mistake in Milah Shmona Esrei, so the Alokai Mitzar could be considered an extension of Shmona Esrei in a way that the Harachim, even the fourth bracha of benching, is not. Tefillah is extendable because it's not about saying a text, unlike benching, it's about Avodah Hashem that I can keep doing. I understand also why tefillah requires a hachana in a way that brachos like Ashiyatzar do not. And finally. The core question, the question of the Kishkas, is you might have wondered in the past, you might have asked, formulated it to yourself or not, maybe you asked someone else or not, whenever you thought about it. But when you think about tefillah, so there really are two very different pictures we have of tefillah.
I don't have a sitter here.
And this is not a sitter, this is a Maseil Sushar. But if you were to pretend this is a sitter, so, especially during the Yom Tov season, but even every day, we have two different pictures of tefillah. One picture of tefillah that's, mamash, the whole sitter, the whole mach, the whole nusach, so lots to say. And then there is this other picture of tefillah, very formal. There is another picture of tefillah that floats around, like a much more informal. So, say perek of tefillah, talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu in English. Say it's tefillah for a chayal, say it's tefillah for someone who's sick, say it's tefillah for a test you're taking. Just be misbal. On your own. Free flowing. If you're Rabbi Nachman of Breslov was particularly famous for this, his Tishtapchas HaNefesh. You just sort of have almost like a stream of consciousness conversation with a Chassid talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu. They're beautiful tefillahs that he penned that were the result of just talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Very, very, very conversational, very beautiful, very miragesh, very moving. I think Simcha Raz, a number of years ago, published a volume called Hemias Halev, The Cooing of the Heart. A collection of Nachum's tefillahs. Beautiful, free-flowing, informal tefillahs. That seems very different. That informal picture of tefillah seems like totally at odds with a formal, formulaic, there's a whole sitter, there's a whole nusach, there's a whole machzer. So you may have wondered in the past, which one is the real tefillah? Is tefillah structured, mashuruch moragashem, seitam matzul of racha, huh? Tefillah is talk to your Hashem, informal. It can't both be tefillah. It's either this or that. And then you come across not just Rav Nachman. The Rav developed, I think we touched this a little before Rosh Hashanah, this idea that shofar is like a wordless tefillah. That's why it's in the middle of Shmona Esrei, explains a number of aspects of shofar. wordless tefillah is very beautiful. What on earth does that mean, though? Wait, hey, daven without words. It's like a foodless supper. You know, wordless tefillah. A foodless supper means you just sit at the table and you don't actually eat anything. That's not much of a supper. That's like the shell of a supper, but you're actually not actually suppering. You're not actually lunching if you just like sit and look at each other and don't eat anything. It might be lunch time, but it's not lunch unless you're eating food. But, you know, wordless, chauffeur is a wordless tefillah. Well, why does that make any sense? This is a wheelless car. A wheelless car isn't really a very functional car. So why is a wordless tefillah a very functional tefillah? So is tefillah formal? Is tefillah informal? Wordless tefillah? What's going on? Oh, now we understand very, very, very well. Because tefillah is tefillah. Tefillah is amidah lefnei Hashem. You're in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're in conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tefillah is being in conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What you say and how you say it, there can be different flavors. As the Rambam stressed, the first 1,000 years of national Jewish history, from Moshe to Ezra, everyone figured out what they were going to say in tefillah. It could vary from person to person, from day to day. Ezra came along, and here's the key point. He formalized the tefillah, but specifically formalized the minimal tefillah. He didn't say tefillah is only Shmoneh Esrei. He said everyone has to at least daven Shmoneh Esrei. You want to add on, like we saw, Chavtet, Ragel Amar Tachnum Achas Tefillah, you want to add on Kain Tzar, it's absolutely a part of tefillah. Not only that, you want to be mispalat other times through Baruch Shalom, is you not, you daven Shacharis, you daven Shacharis, and now it's, one in the afternoon, you're not holding by Menchia, but you want to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's, hey, well, look, that's tefillah. But that's not Shmoneh Esrei. It's Shmoneh Esrei. It's tefillah Shmoneh Esrei. It's tefillah whispering something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hishtapchus HaNefesh. Is tefillah wordless? The answer is all of the above. Those are just different flavors. Those are just different flavors of tefillah. Tefillah is Amidah L'Fnei Hashem. Tefillah is being in conversation, face-to-face with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are certain minimal conversations you have to have. You want to have more conversations, is a lot of it. The formality and informality of what you say is a question of method. It's not a question of essence. So that's really the, if you will, the sixth question of the essence of tefillah. It can be formal. And it can be informal. It can even be at times wordless. Wordless tefillah. This is, and you realize, of course, what we just did is we used Reb Chaim Brisker to understand Reb Nachman of Breslov. We could say that we're now, this is a sugya in which Brisk meets Breslov. You normally think that Brisk and Breslov only share the first two letters and nothing else. But there's a lot more convergence, perhaps, than we would usually assume. It's a profound, as I told you when we got started with this sugya, this is a Reb Chaim that calls for careful reading and careful cheshvan and beautiful lamdas, starting with pratim against enormous kolam, transformative lamdas, that also impacts the hashkafa, how we think about the hashkafa of tefillah, in addition to the halacha maisa on so many fronts. And finally, in terms of practical avoda, it can really transform the way we, not just the way we think about tefillah, but the way we do tefillah. And I would make the following simple suggestion. Try this. You're all very busy. Everyone's busy. But Mastama, you can afford an extra five seconds at a time. I don't think anyone's yet in an industry where asking for 5 seconds. 15 seconds a day. 2 minutes a week. Who can't afford 2 minutes a week? So try the following. Imagine if for the next week you invested 5 seconds, not a lot of time, before every Shmoneh Esrei. And no deep Kabbalistic Kavanas and Yehudim. Very, very simple. Not simplistic, but simple. Then 5 seconds, which does not sound like a long time, after you're done with Ashrei, with Kaddish, with
with the Birkas Kriya Shema, whichever tefillah it is, before you start your Shema Esrei. To be when you take the three steps back, or before that, after that. 5 seconds. 5 seconds is not a lot of time, but we're so used to always moving, always saying, always doing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You have to break the habit of going on to the next thing. Just think about, I'm about to be in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm about to speak to God. Simple, but not simplistic. You do it once, it's nice. Many people have found that if you do it repeatedly, over time it has a cumulative impact. You begin to, it begins to sink in. It can begin to transform. Again, we saw it's the Rambam quote, the Shulchan Aruch Rambam quote from the Gemara. That's what you're supposed to do. You prepare yourself before you do it. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. It doesn't have anything elaborate. It could be 5 seconds before Shema Esrei. Just stop and think, I am about to be face-to-face speaking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. 15 seconds a day. 5 seconds per tefila, 3 times a day, over the course of a week. Over the course of a week, it's less than 2 minutes. Less than 2 minutes a week. If you want to believe an editor to try it, you may find that it really has impact. The sugya, from the handling in the lashon of the to handling in the stira, to be medayik in lashon of the gemara, to working through various machloks and amongst the rishonim lahalacha, working through the lamdas, working through the halacha maisa, line up the nafkaminas, appreciating the hashkafa shabo, and hopefully impacting our avodas tefila, and it can enable us to begin to appreciate what it means that tefillah is one of the tools for building a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I recognize that I'm talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then, yeah, you have 3 appointments a day with Rav Shalom. You're standing for coffee 3 times a day with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, over time, that's going to make real impact.